Chapel Program, Tuesday, October 6th. President Binkley speaking.
Send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead me. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Our responsive reading this morning is number 70. The title is The Spirit, Our Helper. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Against such there is no law. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Let us unite in prayer. In all our ways, O God, we desire to acknowledge Thee. We thank Thee for what we have learned from Thy servants who do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with Thee. In Thy presence we confess not only our mistakes, but also our sins. We have done things which we ought not to have done, and we have left undone things which we ought to have done. Have mercy upon us, O God, and forgive us. We thank Thee for the healing process in the lives of dear friends. We thank Thee for those who are passing through deep waters of decision and bereavement, even at this moment. We thank Thee for those who work and live in this community. for their freedom, their faith in thee, their joy in service, their assurance that they have taken their places with the pure in heart who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Strengthen them in their minds and give them energy for the task to which thou hast called them. We pray for those who have the responsibility of leadership in our state and nation and in the wider reaches of a frightened and troubled world. Grant unto thy people the wisdom that comes from above. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In these moments of worship, I should like to draw attention to one aspect of the work of the Spirit of God. There is a spiritual leadership in history. It is composed of enlightened and committed persons who are guided and undergirded by the Spirit of God. We know only a little of the true nature of man, but we do know that man has the quality of permeability. He has a capacity to open the inward region of the soul to the Spirit of God. Occasionally one hears the phrase, time heals. There is only an element of truth in this statement. Time does not necessarily heal, although time may be involved in the healing process. The Spirit of God heals. The Spirit of God heals the divided heart, the disturbed mind, the diseased body. But it is to be understood that even this process of healing takes place within the context of two vital processes: the process of coming into being and the process of passing away. But the Spirit of God in the spirit of man is durable. This means, I think, that a man can open his mind and heart to the Spirit of God. And even in the context of culture, where forces of great magnitude and with tremendous penetration are brought to bear upon the human mind, man can say yes and man can say no to the Spirit of God. This means, I think, that it is possible for men, even within a religious group, to mistreat as well as to misunderstand the Spirit of God. On the pages of the New Testament, we find delineated three ways, related but distinct ways, in which people have mistreated the Spirit of God. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19, we read, "Do not quench the Spirit." The word quench probably refers to the association of the Spirit of God with fire. You remember in two of the Synoptic Gospels the promise, "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And here stands the admonition, "Do not extinguish the flame of God's gift within you. Do not allow anything to put out the light and power of the Spirit within you. There is the possibility also that men may grieve the Spirit of God. In Ephesians 4:30 we read, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Now this statement comes in connection with a very profound discussion of human behavior, which will strengthen the koinonia, the fellowship of the people of God, and a very frank recognition of attitudes that will damage the fellowship and grieve the Spirit of God. The Christian fellowship is nurtured by honest work, by gracious and truthful speech, and by a readiness to forgive. The fellowship is damaged, and it may be ruptured by falsehood, by unrelenting anger, and by theft. Let him that stole steal no more. Putting away falsehood, speak ye the truth one to another. For we are members one of another. The third way in which men may mistreat the Spirit is by resisting him. In Acts 7:51, we read a very severe indictment of men who, thinking themselves to be good, were placing themselves against the prophetic word of their time. The indictment is, "You always resist the Holy Spirit." I suppose this may mean your minds have lost the capacity to perceive the presence of God. This is an awful thing. As ministers of Jesus Christ in the churches and in the schools, you and I do not want to quench the Spirit, nor to grieve the Spirit, nor to resist the Spirit. And we do not want to be negative in our thinking about the Holy Spirit. And so we turn in the second place from a brief look at some of the ways in which the Spirit may be mistreated to the statement concerning the fruit of the Spirit set forth in the fifth chapter of Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We do not subscribe, I assume, without considerable reservation, to what has been called the trait theory of character. But here are some qualities of human life by which we may fruitfully measure ourselves. And as we open ourselves as persons who possess permeability, as we open ourselves to the cleansing, the power, the guidance, the instruction, the correction of the Spirit of God, we begin to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Some of us are longing for a manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit of God. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Let me read what a contemporary theologian says about the fruit of the Spirit. There are noticeable manifestations of the spiritual presence. Let me enumerate some of them while you ask yourselves whether and to what degree they are of your own experience. The Spirit can work in you with a soft but insistent voice, telling you that your life is empty and meaningless, but that there are chances of a new life waiting before the door of your inner self to fill its void and to conquer its dullness. The Spirit can give you the courage that says yes to life, in spite of the destructiveness you have experienced around you and within you. The Spirit can reveal to you that you have hurt somebody deeply, but it also can give you the right word that reunites you with Him. The Spirit can make you love with the divine love someone you profoundly dislike or in whom you have no interest. The Spirit can transform your moods of aggression and depression into stability and serenity. The Spirit can liberate you from hidden enmity against those whom you love, and from open vengefulness against those by whom you feel violated. The Spirit can give you the strength to throw off false anxieties and to take upon yourself the anxiety which belongs to life itself. The Spirit can awaken you to sudden insight into the way you must take your world, and it can open your eyes to a view of it that makes everything new. The Spirit can give you joy in the midst of ordinary routine, as well as in the depth of sorrow. The Spirit can create warmth in the coldness you feel within you and around you, and it can give you wisdom and strength where your human love towards a loved one has failed. The Spirit can throw you into despair about yourself and then give you the certainty that life has accepted you just when you felt totally rejected and when you rejected yourself totally. The Spirit can give you the power of prayer. that nobody has except through the spiritual presence. For every prayer, with or without words, that reaches its aim is a work of the Spirit speaking in us and through us. Are we really open today to the Spirit of God? I trust that we are. For every one of us needs what He alone can do for us. And you and I are ministers through the churches in the name of Jesus Christ to persons who need what only the Spirit of God can do for them. Let us pray. Eternal God, who art far beyond our best thought, yet very near to us at this moment, come into our minds and into our hearts. Send us forth in the power and under the guidance of Thy Spirit to the work to which we are committed in response to Thy call through Jesus Christ, our Lord.